Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Unborn Son, the paintings of John Gordon Gould, is on view at the Lenhardt Galleries at the Berkshire Botanical Garden in Stockbridge, Massachusetts through February 7th. And there will be a Meet the Artist Gallery presentation and tea service this Sunday, January 19th from 2 to 4 p.m. John Gordon Gould graduated with a BFA with honors from the Rhode Island School of Design, and his work has been extensively exhibited. He's the recent recipient of the Martha Bosch and Porter Grant from the Berkshire Taconic Foundation to fund his future work, and he joins us now. John Gordon Gould, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Likewise. Tell me how this exhibition of your work came to be at the Berkshire Botanical Garden.
Well, I was introduced to Matthew Larkin, who is chairman of the board, and I was introduced to him by an art dealer that I work with. He just really liked my work, and he said it coincided with the mission of the art gallery at the Botanical Garden, and he asked if I would like to do a show there. So,
and you said yes.
Yeah, I said yes.
In what ways does your work correspond with the mission of the gallery at the Botanical Garden?
Well, it's a lot about the natural world, and there were a lot of elements of flowers and botanical elements in the still life paintings I was working on. I definitely, you know, stray from that sometimes, but the paintings that he was looking at had a lot to do with that. And so that was kind of perfectly what they were looking for. And, you know, as long as it doesn't feature people, basically, is kind of what they have in their mission.
What are some of the component paintings of the exhibition Unborn Son, and how did you and the gallery decide what would be hung for this show?
It was pretty open. They let me do basically what I wanted. And then, shortly before, basically when I was installing, they came to look and just make sure that they understood everything that I was presenting. But a lot of the paintings feature night scenes and some daytime scenes, landscapes, mostly landscapes. And they have to do a lot with my own struggles with insomnia. And that kind of led me to walking outside in the Berkshires in the middle of the night and looking at the moon and stars and nature. And so a lot of the paintings kind of have to do with that.
How long have you been suffering from insomnia, and when did you realize you could translate it into some of your artistic work?
It's been on and off for a number of years, and I've sort of been back and forth, mostly in New York City, but always like having a love of nature and exploring outside the city. And so when I became a resident in the Berkshires and kind of back and forth, it gave me an opportunity to actually like spend time outside at night and to turn those wakeful nighttime hours into thinking about the work and kind of letting it enter into some of the paintings that way.
Insomnia generally would be discussed or received as unpleasant, but since you are able to translate it into your work, do you find that therapeutic? Is it less unpleasant than it might be? Or would you rather be sleeping than have created these paintings?
No, I'd rather have created the work for sure. But okay. I think insomnia is definitely, sleep is always a good thing. So, and getting, I think proper rhythms are important, but I think that definitely it's being able to use the time and for exploration and something different is definitely beneficial too. So ultimately, I think, you know, being in a nice rhythm and getting sufficient sleep is probably an ideal situation.
How did you discover that you had an artistic talent and it was something you wanted to pursue as a career, as a livelihood?
That was pretty young, actually. When I was sort of in my early adolescence, it was definitely making work, artwork. And when it started to kind of get attention from people, I think, in a way. People were either inspired by it or impressed, or somehow it pushed people's buttons. And I sort of realized that I kind of liked that. There was a piece when I was young, I think I was about 13 or 14 years old, and it was exhibited in library, and it was a chair that I had built myself, and it had screws coming through the seat of it, but it was sent when I got to the opening of the exhibition, it had been censored and put in a closet. And I felt like, you know, at that point, like it was disheartening, and I was really upset, but also I felt like I had presented something which had, you know, created a little bit of a buzz or something.
Right. So. You'd been provocative.
Yes. Yes.
How have you developed what mediums you'll work with? Like we've discussed that the things at the Berkshire Botanical Garden are the works of art at the Berkshire Botanical Garden are paintings, but you also, when you were younger, made a chair. I understand you do sculpture. How do you develop the skills that you need? And on any given artwork day, how do you know or decide what you will work with or on?
Well, so I think that skill is definitely something that takes a long time to develop. And I went to Rodin School of Design, and I really loved it there. And I had a lot of good teachers. I sought out certain teachers and just kind of, you know, found people to study under. But I think also at the same time, the way that I was painting wasn't incredibly popular in terms of representational and realism based and technique based. And, you know, at the time people were, you know, straying away from that. And I think that, so a lot of it was kind of self-taught and reading books and technical books and things written 300-400 years ago, you know, so that's kind of how I learned skill and over. And then, but still, when I start paintings, a lot of times I feel like I don't know what I'm going to work on, or I don't know how to paint when I start a painting. I think about that, and there's a book called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, and I kind of like that idea. I mean, when I feel like I don't know how to paint, it reminds me of that book, kind of. And that sometimes it's best to just enter into something fresh and as a beginner, you know, so that's kind of, I think, the main thing is you develop these skills, but then kind of forget where you're coming from and enter something fresh and new.
Why do you think it was important to you to study old techniques?
Foundation and technique is something that like learning how to do something properly is often valuable, and or time honored, maybe is not necessarily properly, but time honored technique is important. And then you can throw it all away if you want to, but at least you're making the choice to not, you know, to kind of like not engage with that. It just interested me, and I was. I don't know exactly why, but I wanted to find out everything I could about how, you know, like in the Renaissance or before, or that they made things from manuscripts to sculptures, woodworking, and especially painting, and an interest in the most fundamental materials. So just the pigments themselves and how you attach pigment to a surface. And so that was kind of what drew me there. That's why it was important. And that was a way into painting for me.
I'm reminded of the famous quote, writing about music is like dancing about architecture. talking about art, talking about visual art on the radio is something we try to accomplish all the time. And I know it's asking a lot of you to describe any kind of artistic process or pigment only using vocabulary, but that is where we find ourselves today. So could you tell me about some of the old processes that you sometimes use in your work and what the Yes. what the effect is, what the steps are?
Egg tempera, for example, it is an old technique of painting, and you take the actual egg and you separate the yolk out, just like in baking. Most people nowadays are familiar in terms of baking to how mm-hmm. to remove the egg yolk. But the egg yolk is the binder, and that holds the pigments to the surface. And that also has to be done on a specific type of panel that's made. It's almost like a fresco, which is made with plaster. So you create these hardwood panels, and that's because the egg yolk is sort of brittle and can't be on canvas where it would bend a lot. So the mixture of the egg yolk and the pigment, it's transparent, and it takes a lot of layers to build up the surface. And that was kind of a technique that just one of my teachers showed me. He thought I might like it because he knew about my interest in materials. And I just went with it. I loved it, but there weren't a lot of teachers that taught that. So a lot of what I learned was just from practice and reading more books about it and looking at paintings that I knew had been made with egg tempera. Another method is water gilding, which was also popular in the Renaissance, and particularly for icon paintings, church paintings, and also for like moldings and framing. And that involves, that's kind of goes hand in hand with egg tempera painting, and it needs to be on the same type of plaster ground, and involves many layers of clay and a smooth surface, and then the gold leaf, and it's kind of a labor-intensive process. And I think all of it is, for me, the process and everything that goes into it is part of just what gets me interested in painting.
Do you also produce, do you make yourself these specific panels that you're talking about? Or are
Yes.
you able, you do?
Yes.
So everything from scratch, the whole thing is your work?
Yes. So, and that's the other thing is, so when I was in school, I learned a lot of woodworking techniques. Primarily it started for making picture frames for my work and stretchers for the canvas. But, then it translated into making the actual panels because, some in the Renaissance, they used solid hardwood, and, that all has to be properly joined and out of different species of wood, and so you can use plywood or more contemporary types of wood boards, but the hardwood is really the most important thing and has to be properly cradled. So there's a whole process to that, and then even before you get to applying the coats of plaster, but they're beautiful materials to work with, and I enjoy the whole part of the process. So,
you are doing a Meet the Artist gallery presentation on January 19th from 2 to 4 p.m. Do you enjoy that aspect of being a living artist, meeting your audience and talking about your work?
Definitely, I do. And this in particular, another part of the practice that is kind of important is tea, and I think tea is kind of a medicinal but also meditative. So we're going to be serving tea there, and I think that interaction of serving and also giving something back is enjoyable and interesting to me. And so I'm definitely looking forward to this this in particular.
Unborn Son, the paintings of John Gordon Gould, will be on display at the Berkshire Botanical Garden through February 7th. Once again, the Meet the Artist Gallery presentation and tea is January 19th from 2 to 4 p.m. BerkshireBotanical.org for more information. John, thank you very much for your time and for speaking with me about your work.
Thank you so much for having me.
BerkshireBotanical.org for more information, and that link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.